take your Bibles. You can put your songbooks up. Take your Bibles and go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And we're going to start at verse 62 and we'll end at verse 67. I'll read verse 62 and you read verse 63 with me. And we'll read down to verse number 67. All right. John chapter 6 and verse 62. What? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you again for your precious word. Lord, thank you for church. Thank you for the new year. Thank you for the, Lord, it is nice, a fresh start. I pray that, Father, please help us this morning. Open our eyes. Please help me as I preach and as I teach. Let this be a help. Strengthen us, please, as your people. And do a work in each heart. We'll praise you for it and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat. Here, in John chapter 6, you have a verse where Jesus said in verse 63, it's the Spirit that quickeneth or makes alive. He said, the flesh profits nothing. There's nothing good in my flesh. There's nothing my flesh helps me with in my Christian life. It's the Holy Spirit that quickeneth. And then the most amazing statement, he said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. What a statement about the Bible. I know it's God's word. I know it's eternal. I know it always has been. There never was a time when it wasn't, and there never will be a time when it won't be. And when we get to heaven, the only thing that'll be in heaven that was here on this earth was God's word. Everything else gets dissolved. But the words, those words, they're not just the word of God and eternal. They're life. Life. To illustrate that, to say, okay, they're life. To illustrate that, we live in a closed system. A closed system is like your car. If you don't put gas in it, you'll eventually run out. It doesn't, obviously, it doesn't generate it itself. Well, the universe is a closed system. And it is, for instance, the earth. Everything is slowing down. The earth is spinning slower and slower every year. That's a scientific fact. The moon is getting further and further away from the earth as it orbits. The sun is getting smaller every year, and the temperature is dropping. You say, how do you know? Well, they measured it. How'd they do that? Well, they did it at night. We live in a closed system, okay? The universe, our lives, your body is a closed system. If you don't put food in it, you die. You have to give things to your body for it to maintain life. It's a closed system. Your Christian life, Jesus designed it. It's wonderful. Think about this. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. There's only one thing you can put in your body that gives you more life. God's word. You say, well, there's minerals and there's mini greens and there's salads and there's, you know, these vitamins and then there's these nutrients. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. This is the only source of life that helps you live eternally and now. Okay? With that in mind, how important then would it be to read your Bible? Now, when you talk about Bible reading, it's a lot like talking about prayer, and nobody argues it, right? Like I can say this, everybody here should be reading your Bible every day, and nobody's going to stay, if you say that one more time, I'm leaving this church. Everybody knows that. I can make statements like this. Everybody here should have a prayer time every day that's longer than 3 minutes after you've prayed over your food. In other words, that's what most Americans count as their prayer time. You know, 2.5 minutes a day if you add up all three meals and then two snacks and then, of course, a midnight brunch and then, of course, the one you... Everybody knows you're supposed to pray. Nobody argues that. But the average prayer time of the average American, as they said, it's right around 2.25 to 2.5 minutes a day. Nobody prays too much. I can make the same statement about your Bible. Your Bible, you need to be reading it every day, and nobody reads it too much. And everybody goes, amen, you ought to be reading it. And here's something else. If you're reading your Bible, it's really nothing you do in front of anybody else. Husband and wife can read it together. That's always a sweet time. Husband and wife can pray together. That's a sweet time. But for most of us, it is still something we would consider private, right? Like if you found somebody's Bible, I only open a Bible to look at it and see whose it is. I don't thumb through it. Oh, wow, what's marked in their Bible? You can do that to mine, but I always thought, wow, these are like their devotional thoughts and what they thought was special. You almost feel kind of like somebody got in my underwear drawer. You know what I mean? you just don't look in there. You say, why would you say that? We had somebody break into our house. This was 15 years ago. My guns were stolen. And I was like, okay, you turn that into the insurance company. And that's okay. We had something in the living room. The TV was stolen or something. And that was okay because insurance paid for that. But I'll never forget when my wife and I walked into and my underwear drawer was open. I was like, that ain't right. I'm going to find him and kill him. No, I just remember feeling, ugh, why would you get at any rate. I said that to say your Bible's personal, okay? And I hope your Bible's personal to you. I would hope somewhere on your Bible, if you've had it longer than a year, there's tear stains somewhere. It's the book that God speaks to your heart from. It's the book that you've rejoiced in the Lord with. It's the book that gives us hope. It's the book. That book is so important. Take your Bible and go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And look at verse 22 and verse 23 is what I really want you to think about. But 1 Peter, back near Revelation, 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Watch verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Verse 23 says, this book is so important. This book didn't just show you how to be saved. This book is what saved you. No, Jesus saved me. I know, but Jesus' name is the word of God. Revelation 19:13. He is the word, capital W. This book didn't just show you how to be saved. That book, if it's a King James Bible, is what saved you. You say, can you get saved from reading other Bibles? Yes, I don't hold it. You can only get saved from reading a King James. But the difference between a King James Bible and the other versions is the difference between a pure steak and, you know, Campbell's beef and noodle. Okay, there's a little bit of meat in there. And I think there's enough in some of the Bible versions for you to get saved. But, man, if you really want to eat some good chow, amen, King James. All right, so let's go back to it. This book is what saved you. This book is what gives you life. Then shouldn't it be a part of your day? And I know everybody, like I said, I don't think this sermon is nothing that would offend anybody as much as it ought to be convicting, because I've never met somebody that read their Bible too much. I've met plenty of people. Jesus said, and we don't have time to go to all of it, ye do greatly err not knowing the Scriptures. Your mistakes and your responses to life come from you not knowing the Bible, not because you don't know the Bible. And the more you know the Bible, then the more God can bless you and help you. So this book is the source of life. This book is what gave me eternal life. This book gives you life. This book saves your soul. And then after you're saved, it feeds you. Now, how important should it be to help you with this? We'll come back to this thought. Go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, look at verse number 13. Titus chapter 2, and look at verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, our blessed hope is the rapture. Faith is something that I trust in spite of my doubt. And faith will always have an element of doubt. But faith is my belief in the Bible as I fight my doubt. Right? You can't have faith without doubt. Okay? Now, why is that different? Hope is something I know. Hope is not faith. My hope is in what I'm assured of that is going to take place. And God says our blessed assurance, our blessed hope is the rapture. I know it's going to happen. I don't have faith that it's going to happen. I'm sure of it because Jesus promised it. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you, right? I go and prepare a place for you. You say, where are you going with this? This year in 2023, we're closer now than we have ever been, right? Right? We're closer. If the rapture was your blessed hope and you knew it was going to happen, what are you doing now to make decisions because of the rapture? I didn't make this statement. If you knew you were going to die next week, what would you do differently? Okay, I can live a little bit that way, and I should live with eternity in view. But if I lived that way all the time, I'd stay up every night, and I'd wear myself out, and I'd get sick. So the question, if you died next week, is there anything you would do before you died? That's a stressful question. Let me help you with something. If you knew the rapture was going to happen this year, which we don't, but we're supposed to, right? There's a crown for those that love his appearing. If you love the appearing of Jesus, you get a reward. So if your hope is every morning, Lord, maybe today. Today might be the day where we hear it. The trumpet and Jesus say, everybody come on home. It's all over. If that were to happen this year, what priorities do you have in your life because that's your hope? How does your hope affect your life? Does that make sense? What decisions are you making because of the hope God's given you in his word and that he's coming again to get you? Amen? His child. I would think if it was your blessed hope, if it's one of your first hopes, if it's a great hope, you do something about it, right? Don't you prepare for trips? Amen. But the dog, he just got back from a trip. There was preparation involved, and there was anticipation involved. Ooh, next week, right? I think all of us do that. Where is that with the coming of the Lord and the rapture? Can I bring it home? If you knew the rapture was going to happen this year, where does your Bible reading fit in your life? Shouldn't that be something that's there? Well, no. We hear the Bible in church and Sunday school, and we hear it in when we come to church. When do you personally prioritize your life to put God in it other than church? When will God speak to you tomorrow from his word? The blessed hope should influence my decisions for life. And I should have, in other words, I do what I do because he's going to call me home someday. Christian, how much do you read your Bible? Some have this statement. Well, I listen to the Bible. I listen to the Bible. I think I have, if you added it up, I have my whole computer set up so that every day I have passages for 3 hours that I listen to while I work. That's not reading my Bible. It's good. Like I turned like tomorrow will be the second, right? So I turned to my playlist number 2, and it's set up for the second day of the month. And every month I listen to the same thing. And then I have sections in the New Testament and Old Testament I listen to, but that's not my Bible reading. When do you read your Bible? You have to have a time. Because if it's, well, I'll get around to it, you never will. Did you forget you have an enemy? The thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and to destroy. In other words, there'll always be something that pulls you away from it because it's important. The small things are what demand our attention. And if you don't make time for the big things in your life, they never happen. Here, let me show you a neat verse. Take your Bible and go to Psalm 63. I'll give you an idea, okay? Because that's what I do. I'm a pastor. Amen? It's my job to help you think. Go to Psalm 63. And then I'm going to have you turn to a place in Proverbs here. Psalm 63. Ready? Psalm 63, and look at verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. See those words, early will I seek thee? Okay, now go to Proverbs 8. Go to Proverbs 8. This is a wonderful promise for every child of God. Proverbs chapter 8. Look at verse 17. Proverbs 8, 17. Ready? I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. It does not say you're supposed to read your Bible in the morning. But as a pastor, I'll let you know this. As a Christian and all the counseling that I've done, and when I try to help people with reading the Bible and all of that, the best time to read your Bible's in the morning. You say, well, I'm not a morning person. I'm not either. I've heard somebody say, you know, when I got saved, they said, first thing I reach for when I get up is my Bible. It's the first thing I touch, and it's the first thing I open my eyes to. I tried that, okay? It doesn't work with me. I was like, this is my Bible. And then I had drool marks on my Bible and everything. Ew, gross. Okay. I need to get cleaned up, need to get dressed, and then I go sit down, and then I have a place in my house where I read my Bible. I can't read it in bed. I just short circuit on Jesus, okay? I mean, I can't do it. And watch this. I think most people can't. I didn't say it was sinful. I'm trying to do things for the long haul. Here we are in 2023, and if I was going to start out to read my Bible, God says, they that seek me early shall find me. That's a promise. If you seek me early. Let me rephrase that to you. You ready? If you make me a priority, if you're willing to get up and change your schedule for me, I'll make sure you find me. They that seek me early shall find me. Here's what I've done since I've been in the Marine Corps. When I got saved, and my pastor said there should be a time every day when you're reading your Bible. And man, I mean, he just rammed it home. Here's what I did. Are you ready? You could do the same thing. For those that say, well, I just can't get up. I've gotten up at 4:30 in the morning to go deer hunting before. God help me if I could only get up for deer hunting, but I couldn't get my fanny out of bed to read my Bible. Shame on me. No, you get up for what you want. You get up for what's important. And God says, if you'll seek me early, you'll find me. Well, I like to read my Bible at night. In all of my counseling, none of this is sinful. Does everybody understand? I'm not saying if you read your Bible at night, it's sinful. Here's what I found. You need to start with the Lord in the start of your day so He's in your mind through the rest of the day. And if you want to add noon reading and evening reading, add that to your morning reading. But I've never seen somebody sustain evening reading. I read my Bible every night at 9:00. You know what the big hindrance was? That was true before. That might have worked before TV. America's too entertainment based. In the evenings when people come home, they normally want to sit down. They don't do a lot of activity. Amen? That's normal American lifestyle. We live in the West. Let me teach you how to put God early in your day. You ready? If you ask yourself, how much sleep do you need? You should be able to answer that question. I used to when I got saved. At age 20, I had it down. 5.5 hours. I needed 5.5 hours of sleep. My metabolism, that was me. Okay? Now, I'm 57, and I need right around 6.5 hours of sleep. Okay? As I get older, I need more. I understand that. If I asked you, how much sleep do you need? To where if you don't, you get sick. I know my limitations. If I don't get that much, I better get it later. But I've learned this, get it now or get it later, but you're going to get it. And if you don't get it, you'll get sick, and then you'll get it, right? So get it while the getting's good, is what I always say. But you ought to know how much sleep your body needs. You ready? What time, okay? What time do you have to be at work? How long does it take to get there? How long does it take you to get ready in the morning? I have it down to a science. They taught us in the Marine Corps. When I was in the Marine Corps, I had it down to 4 minutes, okay? From the time the covers went back till the time I was out the door, I had it down. I could do it. And my goal was under 5 minutes. Since I'm 57, I don't have that goal anymore. Amen. I'm down to 22 and a half minutes. Met me moving at a normal pace from the time I put the covers back, shower, clean, dress, shoes, out the door. Okay? 22 and a half minutes. You say you got it down too much. Okay. If you gave yourself a half hour, if you're a lady, okay, 3 hours. All right. Oh, give me a break. Okay. All I'm saying is how long does it take you to get ready? Then why don't you add on where you have to be to how much time it takes you to get to work or where you have to be to how much time it takes you to get ready, and then put your half hour Bible time on there and your half hour prayer time. Or let's start with 10 minutes because you got to start somewhere, right? 10 minutes to pray and 10 minutes to read your Bible. 20 minutes. And then add on your sleep time, and that'll tell you when to go to bed. I've done that for years. You know how come the old timers said, oh, I got up at 3:30 every morning, I read my Bible, 3:30 every morning, every morning. You know how come they were going to bed at 7? They didn't tell you that, right? When I got out of the Marine Corps and I went to Bible college, I was getting up because I heard that. You know, I'm reading these old books from the 1800s, you know, at 3:30 every morning, 3:30, you know, David Brainerd. You know, you got all these older preachers, 3:30 in the morning, read. And I was like, okay, I'm going to read my Bible, 3:30. In the Marine Corps, I was going to bed at 8:30. I was getting 7 hours of sleep. And I'd get up, went to early chow. And, I mean, I have my Bible time, go to early chow, come back. All the Marines were at chow time during regular chow. Me, I had another hour with the Lord. And I went to Bible college. I lived a much tighter schedule. All I'm saying is, have you ever done that? Have you ever determined, watch this, this is when I have to go to bed or I'm not going to get up and read my Bible? It takes that determination. How about this? I have to go to bed at this time on Saturday night or I won't get up and go to church. If I want to enjoy church and not flower pot, right? You know what flower pot is? We haven't had anybody flower pot here, but in one church I was at, somebody flower potted. And I was like, look at that. That really happens. I mean, shamelessly flower potting. I mean, just like this. I'm just saying you determine in your life your priorities. If I want to get up on time and enjoy the next day, I need to get this much sleep so I don't stay up. They said sleep deprivation is hitting over 50% of America because they can't shut their phones off and they can't get off of Netflix or whatever this stupid thing they've subscribed to. Life was so much disciplined and easier without TV. The biggest problem is, I wonder how much you could read your Bible if it wasn't for TV. They that seek me early shall find me. Christian, we're here in 2023. And if you want to read your Bible, I think you should make it a goal. What goals do you have? What goals are you setting for the Lord? You say, well, I'm going to save this much money and I'm going to do this and I'm going to make this. I have nothing. I think you should have goals galore because they help you. We live in a day, well, don't set goals, because then if you don't make them, you'll disappoint yourself. You ought to be disappointed in yourself if you don't make goals. That's what's the problem with the woke, new woke culture that's coming. They don't set goals. They have no dreams. They have no ambitions. They just exist. And we're watching that hit society. And the old timers, they're calling weird. When I was a teenager, I lived to grow up and one day have my own farm. I welded at night when I came home. My life as a teenager was built around reaching for what I thought I was supposed to do. You didn't float. Now they're floating. What do you want to do? I don't know. What are you going to do next year? I don't know. Live in my mom's basement. She brings me my food. She's just such a blessing. We live in a culture where there's no goals. There's no dreams. There's nothing to reach for. There's nothing that stretches you. Well, how about, Christian, set some goals. And you ought to have financial goals, and you ought to have things that you're reaching for. Now, where does the Lord fit in that? Do you have any dreams? I would one day love to read my Bible through. Did you know if you read, remember I talked to you about adding the Lord to your morning. Did you know if you read 9 chapters in the morning, then 9 chapters of the Bible at lunch, and 9 chapters of the Bible at supper, after supper, whatever it is. Did you know you read your Bible through 10 times in a year? Take 70 hours to read this book. 70 at a public reading pace. 70 hours. Let me get that straight. If I read my Bible for 1 hour a day, I would have it read through in 2.5 months. 1 hour a day. Oh, that's too long. And the movie you watched was how long? Hour and a half? Hour and a half you sat.
Well, I got things I got to.
Hour and a half you sat and did nothing. I just don't want the world to have more of me than God does. 70 hours to read this through. Okay? Where does it fit in your schedule? How do you break it down? 4 chapters a day will put you through in a year. 4 chapters a day. I need more than that. I'm a wicked person. My flesh is nasty. If I'm going to get enough strength, I have to have more than 4 chapters a day. And if I'd been saved in young age and raised in church, maybe okay. But I like what one person said. I listened to one person help me so much. They said, I'm so evil and I got so much trash in my head from the videos and music and entertainment. He said, I don't get nothing out of my Bible till I get to the 4th page in my Bible. He said, I got to read 10 pages a day. And finally, after the 4th page, it finally starts clicking. I got to have something. So when people say this, oh, I just read the Bible. I'd read it, but I just don't get nothing out of it. You're not reading enough of it. Amen. Here, you want to sober? Okay, I'm trying to help you this morning. It's 2023. It's New Year's Day, and I want you to have a goal of reading your Bible. And in our church, I've tried to do everything I can. I'll read the Bible with you. I think I've offered it to at least half the church members. Okay, if I think anybody wants it, I'll say I'll read the Bible with you. Okay, done it in every church I've been at. I won't do it with you ladies. I'm sorry. Okay? I just, unless your husband's with you or whatever, you can ask my wife about it. But I just, amen, I don't do that. However, we do live in a unique age with the phones. You know what I mean? It's kind of different, isn't it? Like, we didn't get to see Kat and Caleb, you know, last year. So we did what? FaceTime, right? Everybody gets to see everybody's face and kind of, well, it's different. You don't have to go over to anybody's house. That's kind of neat. Christian, could you put Bible reading in your schedule? The words that I have spoken unto you, they are spirit and they are the only source of life that you'll put in your life. This is the source of life. When do you read it? If you believe it, then you should read it. How can you know what it means if you don't know what it says? Amen. This should be a priority. Have you ever set any goals saying, you know what, that's a big book. I didn't have to read a book like that in high school. Matter of fact, even when I did have to read a book, Cliff Notes, what would we do without? Remember, I just dated myself, didn't I? That was 80s, okay. You should have a goal of, I'm going to read this book through in 1 year, 4 chapters a day. You know how long that takes? Time it some time. It's less than, I think it's right around 15 minutes. It may be somewhere around 12. 12 minutes a day. For God to speak to my heart. You got to start somewhere. Christians, set a goal. They that seek me early will find me. That's a promise. God, I'm going to put you in my schedule. I'm going to alter my day and put you in there. And then watch this. It becomes the law of the Medes and Persians. And you get rid of your stinking phone. I'm watching young people substitute their Bible for a phone. I have the Bible on my phone, okay? I use it to look up like references if I'm out and about, but you know they can take everything that's on your phone, like in the click of a switch. There's no substitute. Look, I have a tablet. There's my sermon, okay? I have a tablet, but there's no substitute for a book you can hold in your hands and hug and hold and feel. There's no substitute for this. I got a whole sermon on don't trade your Bible for an iPad. Amen. I mean, a whole sermon on it. I'm not preaching that this morning. I'm just saying, I'm glad you got it on your phone, but my goodness, you ought to have a Bible that stays right where you read your Bible. If you went in our house today, Pastor Owens taught me this a long time ago. You ought to have a place for your pens. I use different color pens in my Bible, right? Green is for the judgment. Purple is for God's voice. And blue is for heaven. Red is for the blood of Jesus. Amen. You know, got to use red ink there. And that's just the way I've marked my Bible. Where do you read it in your house? Where do you sit and let God speak to you? What is your system? Doesn't have to be this, but what is your system for working through the Bible? Take your Bible. Let's end with this. Go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Look at verse 30. Okay, John chapter 8. Look at verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. What a statement. Many people believed on Jesus. And look at after many believe on him, look at what he says. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. So his word just saved them. And if you want to be a follower of Christ, he said, let my word continue in you. Because this is, you got saved from it. And then this is what's going to empower you and feed you and help you till I call you home. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples, disciplined learners, a disciplined learner or a disciple. Look at the next verse. And ye shall know the truth. That's because the Bible is the only source of truth in the world. It's the only thing I can read that I can count on. I can't count on the news. The news is lying to people. CNN, CBS, NBC, ABC, they are lying. Putin's losing the war. You know how special Russia is at propaganda? Do you know what for the past 50 years they've been a master at? Putting out what they want people to believe about their country. Nothing you read about Russia is true. Ukraine is not winning. Russia wants you to think that they're winning. It's how you get the enemy to underestimate you. They're master. You can't believe the media. I'm just trying to tell you, Fox News, it's a lie. How much more stuff can you stand to hear from Tucker Carlson that's going wrong in this country and nothing's being done about it? Nothing is being done. Nobody goes to jail. It's just information overload. Overloads you till you just shut down and just, oh, that's about all I can. This book, Jesus said, if you'll continue in my word, then you'll know the truth. This is the source of peace. This is the source of life. Want a happy life? Read God's word. Put God's word in your daily life. Have a system. Okay, how about this? That's John chapter 8. Watch this. Jesus makes some of the strongest statements here. Look at verse 36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free by his truth, ye shall be free indeed. Praise God when you get saved, right? God's truth makes you free, truly free. Watch verse 37 very carefully. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because, and then you ought to say, my word hath no place in you. How come you want to kill Jesus? He said, because my word isn't important to you. Watch this. Look down. He said, verse 43. Ready? Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my words? Look at verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not. How come? Because you're not of God. When somebody says, you know, if you do this after you got saved, then you didn't really get saved. I don't go for those type sermons. I think that I can say this. Jesus said, if you have no use for that book and it doesn't mean anything to you when you read it, that might be an indicator that you're lost. When there's no hungering for the Bible. Look, watch. Jesus didn't say you would understand everything in the book when he saves you. He said, my sheep, hear my voice, right? But you want it when you're saved. But if you don't want it, and there's not like, Oh, I've just, that was my sign on getting saved. I had read it and been taught it and read it and read it. My problem was I didn't have the author living inside of me. Amen? Then when I got saved, all the stuff that I'd been taught in Sunday school, everything just exploded. I was like, wow, what a book. I couldn't get enough of it. Christian, read verse 47 again. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. I understand being backslidden. Every one of us, you've been saved any long length of time, you've been backslidden before. I understand you can get away from God and the Bible loses its priority, but it should always be special. Amen? Ye don't hear them because you're not saved. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they know me, and they hear my voice. This is the voice of God. Christian, this morning, it's 2023. New goals, you ought to have them. Really, you should. There's things I'm going to do this year that I didn't do last year. Does God fit into any of those goals? How about that? What are you going to do for Jesus this year that you didn't do last year? There's some of you, you're this close to leading a soul to Christ, but you still haven't led a soul to Christ yet. Have you ever prayed about it? Lord, this year, if you tarry, dear God, help me lead someone to you. Do you pray about it? Do you have any goals? If you were praying 10 minutes a day last year, why don't you up it? Just increase it. Give Jesus more, not less. How about this? Lord, this year I'm going to pray 11 minutes a day. I'm going to pray 15 minutes a day. Just grow. Increase. It's 2023. I think we're closer to Jesus coming than we've ever been. I'm excited. I'm glad. I love the new start. But Christian, where does this book? This is how we started. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. This is the only thing you can put in your life that adds to it. Amen. Everything else takes from it. I hope it helps you and I hope it encourages you. Let's pray. Father, please use this truth. I pray that, Lord, you'd help us as your people. Lord, I know the idea of New Year's resolutions, that's not new. The world uses that. But Lord, please help us use it for you. Bless these people, please. Strengthen them. Help them, Lord, please, to put you as a priority in their life. Please. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. The piano's going to play. We'll have a short altar call. They that seek me early shall find me. You'll never read your Bible if you're just going to read it when you get around to it. It'll never work. The devil has all types of distractions to keep you away from it. You're going to have to purpose in your heart to spend time with God. When do you read your Bible? It should be on your schedule. It should be etched in stone. Nothing should move it. Every day at this time is when I spend time with God. Father, please use this. I don't want it to ever become old hat. But Lord, to know the first day of the year we have to hear about Bible reading. But Lord Jesus, please use this in each person's life. And Lord, may you get more glory and more love and more devotion from each person, please. Because of this, help us love you till you come. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your songbooks, go to number 485. He's Able. 485 in your songbook. 485.